First sermon of 2021. We'll see how I start off this year. If you've been with us for a while and you've been around, you know that the first sermon of the new year is always the same thing. Sorry if that gets kind of boring after a while. The first sermon of the year, I always do the State of the Church address. We've been doing that for a long time. This year, it's usually the first Sunday. This year, we moved it to the second Sunday because we had our Christmas in January last Sunday, which, by the way, the kids did an amazing job last Sunday. Yeah. If you didn't get a chance to see, we live streamed, but you also can go back and watch the recording now on YouTube. So if you haven't seen the children's Christmas program, it was awesome. So today we're going to do our State of the Church address. This all started with my very first sermon here at Mesa Christian Fellowship. Back when I was the youth pastor, Pastor Rick was here, great mentor, awesome pastor. And he, in December of 2002, 19 years ago now, in December of 2002, he asked me to preach while he was going to be gone. I had never preached a sermon, never wanted to preach a sermon, but Rick wanted me to do that as he was gone. And so, really nervous, but I picked out a passage. I said, okay, I'm gonna do what I've seen other preachers do, and I came up with this cool acrostic, you know, to go with my sermon. At least I thought it was cool, preached a sermon. And I think it turned out okay. Nobody left the church after that or asked me not to preach anymore. So I think it turned out okay. And so when I later became the pastor of the church, about 5 years later, I got looking at this passage again. And I thought, you know what, this is a passage, whether that first sermon was good or not, this is a passage that we need to revisit every year. This is something as a church we need to go back to. We kind of need to center ourselves, look at our foundation, be grounded in this passage. And what it is Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. So that's where we're going to be today. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. And we're gonna camp out here and look at each one of these verses. So let me read that for you today as we get started. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and signs were being performed through the apostles. Now all the believers were together and held all things in common. They sold their possessions and property and distributed the proceeds to all as any had need. Every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple and broke bread from house to house. They ate their food with joyful and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. Every day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. Let me pray for us. Father, as we come today, I ask that you would focus us, center us, ground us in what it means to be a church. Father, I ask that we, as we've done this morning as individuals, we would look back as a church and see what our priorities have been. See where we've spent the most time this last year, and then we would be able to look forward and say, what do you have for us in the coming year, Lord? I ask that you reveal those things to us today. I ask that we be able to look into the scripture and see what it is that a church should be, and then we can strive to be that church. Father, do that work in us this morning as a body, as a group of believers. Bless us with your presence. I ask that this will be a fun and joyful time as we look at what you have done and what you are doing here at Mesa Christian Fellowship. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to show you real quick why this passage is so important. If you go back to the beginning of Acts chapter 2, it starts like this. It says, when the day of Pentecost had arrived, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like that of a violent rushing wind came from heaven, and it filled the whole house where they were staying. They saw tongues like flames of fire that separated and rested on each one of them. Then they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And they each began to hear the message in their own language. Everyone could hear exactly what this sermon was. Peter then preaches this amazing sermon about the gospel. And then as soon as that sermon's over, in verse 41, it says, so those who accepted his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 people were added to them. This, what we read today, And what we're going to study is the first, the earliest, the most pure example of what the church is. Those who have come to know Christ, those who have been baptized into the family of Jesus Christ, have come together now. And this is the first church. And so that's what we're going to look at today. We take away all the stuff throughout history and sometimes all the baggage that has come along with what church is. And we're going to look at what these are the things that we have to do. If we're not doing these things, then we're in danger of just becoming a nonprofit organization and not really a church. And so that's what we're going to spend our time doing. And we're going to look at these things and say, okay, how have we done this last year? What does this last year look like? And then what do we want to do in the year to come? And so that's what we're going to do today. Now, I'm going to take you back to my really cool acrostic that I was so proud of 19 years ago, okay? And what we're going to talk about is what it means to build a healthy church, to build a good and healthy church at Mesa Christian Fellowship. So if you're a note taker, here's what we're going to talk about. The first one is we're expressing benevolence in our giving. And we're going to talk about what benevolence means. The second one is that we're living in unity as we minister in our community. The next one is that we're being ignited by the Holy Spirit. There has to be Holy Spirit working if we're really going to be a church. Then we are loving one another as Christ loved us. And we're going to talk about what real love looks like. And then the last one is we're showing devotion to our family of believers, devotion to one another. And for each of those, what I want to do is we're going to look back on how this last year has gone. We're going to look forward on what we want to do. But most importantly, I'm going to have a question for each one of us to ask ourselves as we go forward. So I'm going to have a question for you. And at the end, we're going to see how we can answer those questions and how we can move forward. So let's talk about benevolence to begin with. Verse 45, back in our passage today, it says, they sold their possessions and property and distributed the proceeds to all as any had need. Share with you some basic ideas about giving and giving at our church specifically. Benevolence, what that is really about, what that word means is to give for a need, to know that there's a need and then to give towards that need. And if you notice, what I love about this passage, they weren't simply giving because they had a lot of extra money laying around, were they? If you look at that verse, what does it say? They saw needs, and so what did they do? They sold their possessions to give to those needs. These weren't just a bunch of rich people throwing out money because they had it. These were people making a sacrifice in order to be benevolent, in order to give. Now, when we say that, then, I think sometimes we get the picture that this is like a spur-of-the-moment kind of giving. It's like, well, there's a need. I'm going to go out and sell my car and give some money to that. But it's more than that. It's much more than that. Giving that is truly going to meet needs on a regular basis, and giving that's also going to further your spiritual growth is intentional and disciplined. That's the kind of giving. It's giving that's intentional. I'm doing this on purpose, and I'm disciplined about it. This is the way I live my life. It's not just a spur-of-the-moment thing that happened today when I felt like I needed to. Now, at our church, over the years, we've tried to help that make that easier in different ways. And now, you know, we even have a giving app, which 19 years ago when I preached this passage for the first time, I couldn't even imagine. I don't even know if I knew what an app was. Did I still have like a... I think I had a BlackBerry at that time, right? Kids, I'll tell you guys about that later, okay? But we've tried to take away any barriers and make that as easy as possible, but ultimately, it's left up to your maturity. Ultimately, that's where it stands. You're gonna give in this way. You're going to give intentionally and disciplined at whatever level your relationship is with Christ, at whatever level that you're spiritually mature at that point. So with that being said, excuse me, what have we done this year? We came really close to making our budget in a year that's been incredibly difficult. Most difficult year in ministry that I've ever had. I think the biggest challenge that our church has ever had. And we did well. We gave above and beyond. I thought it was so funny. We were able to put new flooring in our kitchen, which was something we needed for a long time. And we thought, well, we're not using it right now. It's a good time to put some flooring in it. And so we got that done. We paid for all of our kids and youth, to go to summer camp this year. Every single one of them. And we had a ton of kids go to camp, and we paid for all of them. We sent over 350 Operation Christmas Child boxes this year, more than 100 more than our record from previously. And again, in a difficult year, in a financially difficult year. But here's the thing over the last year that has blown me away. Two of our biggest giving months, actually it's our second and third biggest giving months of the year, were the month of April and the month of May, where we were $3,000 and $4,000 over budget, respectively. Now, do you remember April and May? How many of you remember church, coming to church in April and May? We were not here. We were not in the building. And those were two of our biggest giving months of the year. That's intentional, disciplined giving. That's mature believers right now. And I was blown away by that. People would mail in checks. People would come by the office while I was here for office hours and drop off their tithe. People would get on the giving app and give to the church. People gave even though they weren't here. That is the opposite of a spur of the moment thing, isn't it? You know, you can hear a good sermon, feel guilty, and drop some money in the offering box. That's not what this was. This was people being disciplined and intentional in their giving. And I was blown away this year. I was blessed this year as your pastor. So what do we want to do in the coming year? We didn't meet budget this year. We were a little under. God blessed us by making sure that all of our needs were met. He always does. Even in the rough years, I remember years when I first started where board members were each taking home bills to pay them because we didn't have enough money at the church to pay the bills. And so God's always made sure that our needs are met. He did that again this year. But there's a lot of things that we want to do. There's a lot of things above and beyond just meeting our needs that we want to do. There's some things here at the building, talking about kitchen flooring. We need it in the sanctuary. We need it in the fellowship hall really bad. Have you been in the fellowship hall? Decades of meals in the fellowship hall has left that flooring pretty sad. We need new siding on much of the church. We did the building project, and all the siding and the brick out there is beautiful. But the rest of the church that's old, we need some siding there. Our soundboard is dying. I don't know if you notice certain Sundays you can't hear one of the singers or something like that. That's something we need. You see, there's all these things that we get by because you know, we don't have abundance. And so there's all these ways that we get by, but there's more things that we want to do here. But in addition to that, there's more ministry that we want to do outside of our church and other things that are going on. I've talked some in the past about the cooperative program where all the Southern Baptist churches get together, pool their money, and give to missionaries in the U.S. and missionaries literally all over the world. We're supporting missionaries, some of them good friends of mine that I've gone to seminary with in East Asia, in parts of the world where it's very dark. And so we want to be able to give more to that for missionaries. I've shared with you about the Royal Gorge Baptist Association, which is our churches here in this area, 23 churches from Westcliff, Beulah, down to Trinidad, out to us. So all in our area that get together to do the outreach we did at the state fair, to do men's outreaches, the Beast Feast and things like that that we've done in the past. And so we want to be able to cooperate in those things and in those kinds of ministries. I've shared with you a little bit, but our church, our association was given the Lake Avenue Baptist Church building there on the kind of on the corner of Lake Avenue and Northern. And so those 23 churches, they've given us that building and $100,000 to do ministry there because that church died. And so we're working on that, doing improvements. We're going to bring mission teams in there. We're going to be doing outreach in that building. And that's something that our church, we want to give to. We want to be a part of that. And then the last one I want to share with you today that I'm excited about is the Rowe family sitting up in the front pew today who are planting a church at Oakwood Estates. Now, if you're old school Mesa, that's Meadowbrook. But Oakwood Estates, they're living out there. They moved here from Louisiana, bought a place at Oakwood Estates to start a church there. I started meeting on Wednesday nights at 10 people this last Wednesday night, I think, and they've only been here a couple months. And so that's something we've kind of, there are people, we've taken ownership of that ministry and we want to care for that family and we want to be a part of that ministry. And so those are some ways, I'm glad that our needs here at our church are always met, but we want to do things above and beyond that. Benevolence is looking around and seeing that there's needs to be met and intentionally giving in order to help meet those needs, not because you have way too much money laying around, but because you know those needs are important and you know that sacrificially giving is part of your relationship with Christ and part of your spiritual maturity. We probably know this story, but I think the best example of this comes from Luke chapter 21, verses 1 through 4. Says, he looked up, talking about Jesus. He looked up and saw the rich dropping off their offerings into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow dropping in two tiny coins. "Truly, I tell you," he said, "this poor widow has put in more than all of them." "Why, Jesus?" "For all these people have put in gifts out of their surplus, but she, out of her poverty, has put in all she had to live on." I think that's true, not just spiritually, but functionally. I have seen sacrificial gifts, much smaller, do incredible things for the kingdom than huge gifts that were not a sacrifice. God does amazing things with those two little coins that we drop in. So my question for you when it comes to benevolence is, what am I willing to give up in order to give to God? What am I willing to give up in order to give to God? Now, let's talk about unity. As we go back to Acts chapter 2, verse 44, this is a beautiful verse. I love this picture. It says, this is probably the simplest verse in there. It says, "Now all the believers were together and had held all things in common." Unity is vital. Disunity will destroy a ministry faster than anything else. You can have zero money. You can have no building. You can have a group of people with no talent. But you will do successful ministry if you are in unity. Unity is vital. So how have we done this year? What did 2020 look like? I can't imagine a church having greater unity than we have had here over the course of my pastorate, over these last 15 years and 20 years that I've been here at the church. Not a single, I've said this, I don't know how many years in a row, but when it comes to our deacons and our board of directors, our leadership here at the church, not a single decision was made that wasn't unanimous. Every single one of them. Now, did we have disagreements? Yes. But what did we do? We worked through them to the point where we were in unity as we moved forward. So how do we accomplish this? How do you accomplish unity? Is it something that just happens? Well, two ways, expectations and experiences. So let me talk about experiences. This year, our unity has been challenged like never before. And what I mean by that is our members, as we've gone through an incredibly difficult year when it comes to sickness and health and laws and government, it's just been insane. And in this incredible year, our members here at our church have stood sometimes completely on opposite sides of many of those issues. Because I talk with all of you. And I have seen complete opposite opinions and points of view when it comes to the craziness of this last year. But I have seen all of you show incredible grace with one another. It's just been amazing. It's just been amazing. I have two people sit in the same room that clearly disagree on whatever this issue is from this year. And I'm not going to go into all of them, but you know what they are. And I have seen two people sit in the same room, completely disagree on that issue, and love one another and have grace with one another. And that has been beautiful. That has probably been one of the biggest challenges. This year has been one of the biggest challenges to our unity that I've ever seen here at the church. And you have done it flawlessly. The incredibly difficult experiences of this year can and should create greater unity within the church, not tear us apart. And that's what I've seen happen. Going through both exciting and difficult times creates unity. That's our experiences. The second thing is the expectations. And here's what I mean by this. If our biggest concerns are self-centered, do I like the sermon? Is the music here the kind of music I like? Is there a group Bible study specifically for me? Then disunity will come right behind if your expectations are self-centered. But if we're on mission together, if our biggest concern is the life and death mission of the gospel, then we'll figure out a way to work together. If you show up at a Bible study, not because it's tailored to you, but you show up at a Bible study because you say, I'm going to learn today, I need fellowship, and I need understanding of the scripture because tomorrow I need to go share Jesus with people. You know what? We're going to be all right. Even if we do a study that's not that great. If we all show up with that expectation, we're going to be okay. It's those expectations then that create unity. So unity is such a vital part of what it means to be the church. This was Jesus' prayer right before he went to the cross. Do you realize that? In John chapter 17, verses 20 and 21, Jesus in this passage has prayed for his disciples, for their strength and protection and all these things. And then in John chapter 17, verses 20 and 21, Jesus prayed for Mesa Christian Fellowship. Do you realize that? Here's what he says. I pray not only for my disciples, but also for those who believe in me through their word. That's Mesa Christian Fellowship. That's me and you. May they, here's his prayer, May they be one as you, Father, are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. You see how vital unity is? Jesus wants us to be one just as him and the Father are one. And when we have unity, what's the world going to see? Man, this Jesus guy really is God. He really was sent from the Father. Unity is vital. So here's the big question for this year that I want you to ask yourself. Am I here to serve or to be served? Am I here to serve or to be served? Because that's an expectation that's going to do a lot for creating unity. So as we go back to Acts chapter 2, we see a group of believers who are ignited on fire, literally in the picture, ignited by the Holy Spirit. In verse 43, it says, everyone was filled with awe and many wonders and signs were being performed through the apostles. We are powerless to accomplish the mission of Jesus Christ unless we're filled and empowered by the Holy Spirit. I don't care how talented you are. I don't care how great of a leader you are. I don't care how creative you are. I don't care how awesome your live stream is. Without the empowering, without the filling of the Holy Spirit, we got nothing. We got nothing. So Acts chapter 2, we see signs and wonders. So what are the signs and the wonders this year that we've seen at our church? What is the work of the Holy Spirit? The one that I look for more than anything else is growth in people's lives, demonstrating them growing closer to Christ, more mature in their relationship with Christ, with one another, and with those outside of the church. Now, I've already talked about some of the ways that we've been incredibly mature and just awesome in our ministry this year. That's work that only the Holy Spirit can do. And I, over the years, have become really aware of that as a pastor. And hopefully you have as a follower of Jesus Christ, that when it comes to changing people's lives, you can come up with the slickest presentation. You can do the greatest things for them. You can know all about theology and scripture and win every argument. Who changes their heart? Christ does. That's it. That's a work of the Holy Spirit. It's not something that we accomplish. I've seen the Holy Spirit protect and rescue us through an incredible year of sickness and death that has swept our nation. I can share with you some stories. Mr. Bill sitting right there. Guy almost died three times this year. Three different things. And God has rescued and God has saved and he has protected so much of us as this church so we can continue to minister. And you know, I a week ago lost a really good friend from our Royal Gorge Baptist Association. Ed Pitts was our financial guy for decades and decades, really involved in a lot of different things. Gideon's FCA here in town, just a great man, an amazing man. And he died of COVID in the hospital. And here's an incredible work of the Holy Spirit. As everyone mourns the loss of people they love, I have seen more celebration over Ed than anything else. Because he is one of those men that you say, man, we miss Ed, but Ed is living life right now. There is no doubt about Ed, his eternal soul, and the fact that he is singing praises to Jesus right now in heaven with the angels. That's a Holy Spirit work. The fact that we can have that peace and that confidence, even in the midst of death and darkness and all the things that are going around, that mentally, emotionally, as a person, that doesn't just happen. And we see that in the world around us, don't we? In those who are outside of Christ, we see that. This has been a dark year for a lot of people. But we have that peace and that confidence because of the work of Holy Spirit in our lives. I have seen him work in other ways in a time where a lot of people are afraid and a lot of people are unable for all different reasons to be able to leave their house this year. Here at our church, we had close to 100 kids in our VBS. We've had record numbers in our youth group this year, more kids than we've ever had in the past. And at our last new member orientation, we had over a dozen people in there wanting to join the church. That's awesome. That's God's Holy Spirit working in a year where people are staying home. A lot of people are afraid. A lot of people are stuck because they can't go out. Because for health reasons and different things, they need to be at home. And we, today, as we sit here in a pretty full sanctuary, I can tell you we're missing a lot of brothers and sisters who really probably need to be home to be safe right now. And so God has been working in amazing ways this year. Now, here's why being ignited by the Holy Spirit is so important. It's something that each of us as individuals have to do. It's like a birthday cake for a 100-year-old man. Have you ever seen those America's Funniest Home videos where they like catch the kitchen on fire or something because they're having a birthday party for grandpa? Any one of those candles, it's hard to keep one candle lit that size, isn't it? Any one of those candles is not a big deal, but when you put them on a cake for a 100-year-old man, it starts a fire in the kitchen, right? That's how the Holy Spirit works. It's like, and this is my favorite one, it's like a V8 engine firing on all cylinders. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but if you have a V8 engine that loses one cylinder, if you have one cylinder that's not firing, you would think it loses 1/8 of its horsepower, right? It actually loses half. You know why? Because the other 7 cylinders are dragging a dead cylinder around. Now, if that doesn't give you a good picture of the Holy Spirit working in each individual life in the church, that's what I'm talking about. This, for us to be ignited as a church, it happens with each and every believer. And the way that we do that, the way that you ignite the Holy Spirit in your life is that you leave sin and you pursue God. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 30 and 31 says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't quench him. Don't ruin your relationship with him. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. You were sealed by him for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, anger, and wrath, shouting, and slander be removed from you, along with all malice. So that's one of those steps that we flee from that evil. When we have those things in our life, then it quenches, it grieves the Holy Spirit and gets in the way of our relationship with him. It speaks about this again in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verses 19 through 22, it says, don't stifle the Holy Spirit. Don't quench him. Don't despise prophecies, but test all things. Hold on to what is good and stay away from every kind of evil. I've shared this with you so many times. It's the idea of repentance. I'm heading this way. I'm chasing after evil. So what I need to do is turn around and start chasing after good, chasing after God. That's how you foster the Holy Spirit in your life. So the question for you is, do I bring a Holy Spirit flame into this church? When I walk in, does the Holy Spirit come with me? Am I one of those candles on that 100-year-old birthday cake? So let's talk about love. Back in Acts chapter 2, verse 46, it says, every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple and broke bread from house to house. They ate their food with joyful and sincere hearts. This verse doesn't say love. Doesn't say love anywhere in it. But it is the picture of love. It is what love looks like. How did we do this year? We excel at this. I was just having a conversation this week with somebody in my office. And they were almost in tears. And said, I love this church because people here are so loving. They're welcoming. They want me here when I walk through the door. What does love look like? How do we do this? We welcome everybody who comes through the door. And that's what I shared with them. You know, people will say a lot of times, man, this church is really welcoming. And I say, well, you know why that is? And this is me bragging on you. It's not about me. I said, that's because the people are really excited when you walk through the door. Whether you've been here 20 years or whether it's your first Sunday, they're really happy to see you. You can't fake that. Serving one another in our own homes. I've been a part of countless projects where we've been able to go and to minister to people. And I've been on the receiving end. I can remember at my house 2 years ago when I had 2 broken shoulders and couldn't do anything, there was like this swarm of church members one day that were literally, it was crazy. Look at the house. They were all over the house. They were painting trim, they were fixing things, they were all over the place. And that day, I will never forget standing in my front yard and seeing my church on my house, taking care of everything for me. They let me stain part of the mailbox because I couldn't stand being there and not helping at all. So I had my arms like this and I was staining the side of the mailbox. They let me do that. And that's such an incredible thing to be a part of. That's how you show love to one another. And our church has excelled at that. Very seldom when there's a need in the church where someone is sick or in the hospital or they've lost a loved one, I am never the first one to know. There is always several brothers and sisters that know before me. In fact, a lot of times when something happens, I get 6 calls from the deacons and their wives, and everybody's, Pastor Shane, you need to know that this is happening. You know why? Because we check up on each other. We care about each other. We want to know how each other is doing. And when we found out just recently from Jamie and his family that there was a lady out on at Oakwood who has a disabled daughter that's getting too big for her to carry her to the car every day, that she needed a wheelchair ramp at her place. And so we announced that on Sunday. I had 5 people want to take on the project before 1 o'clock on Sunday. That's how you show love. That's the picture of love. And I'm so proud of the way that we do that. Now, this year, we've had to be more intentional and more creative than ever. Showing love in all the ways that we just said during shutdowns and social distancing and quarantines, we've had to be creative. We've had to do that in different ways. But I've still seen our church go out of their way to show love to brothers and sisters as well as friends and neighbors, which is so important. So how do we foster this quality? Where does this come from? Y'all know John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. Whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Now, I've told you before, 1 John 3:16 is a great companion verse to that. 1 John 3:16 says, "This is how we have come to know love. He laid down his life for us, and we should lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters." And then if you go over one page to 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. "Dear friends, let us love one another." Why? "Because love is from God, and everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, because God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his one and only Son into the world so that we might live through him. Love consists in this." Here it is. Here's the substance. "Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, if God loved us in this way, we also must love one another. No one," I love this, "no one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God remains in us and his love is made complete in us." Nobody's ever seen God, but they can see him in the way we love each other. Isn't that awesome? So here's the question for you today. Do I love in a way that shows God's love? Do I love in a way that shows God's love? Last thing we're going to talk about today is devotion. In verse 42, it says, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer." It's one of the really sad things in our world today. There's a lot of sad things about the lost in our world today, and we like to point those out quite a bit, but there's some sad things about the church, with a capital C, in our world today. And one of them is that being devoted to a local group of believers has become rare in our society. It's a rare thing, and that's sad. We have a tendency to simply go to whatever place, whatever group we feel like at the time, like picking a restaurant on Sunday morning. "Hey, where do you want to go to church? We could watch a live stream. We could go to Mesa. Where do you want to go to church this morning?" And it's become like picking a restaurant. Now, I understand this. I understand that there are people here today, probably most of you, who have come to Mesa Christian Fellowship from another church. I know a lot of you have been baptized here and come up here. But there's a lot of you who have come here from another church. And I know that there are people who are sitting in our pews today that will be part of another church in the future that won't be here anymore. But here's the one thing I ask of you. While you're here, be all here. While you're here, be all here. Be all in. Be devoted to your brothers and sisters here. Now, this year, those who are truly devoted have risen to the challenge like never before this year. People have stepped up in every area, continued to serve when it was not easy, and taken up the slack wherever needed. I have seen that in amazing ways this year. And you know who you are. sitting out there. I can't probably name all the names this morning. I don't want anybody feeling left out. But you know who you are. You know the ones who you're devoted, and you stepped up this year and you sacrificed. But here's the problem with that. They're tired. This has been a hard year. And those people have stepped up and they've shown their devotion, but they're tired now. They've worked hard. It's been incredibly difficult for the leaders and devoted members this year. And so we need you. We need devotion from everybody. We need more people to step up if we're going to go full strength into this next year. We need the people who are going to step up and say, you know, you who wore yourself out in 2020, sit down for a second. Let me take care of that. That's what we need in this coming year, fresh devotion. I want to share with you Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 through 25. It says, and let us watch out for one another to provoke love and good works. Here's how we provoke one another to love and good works. Not neglecting to gather together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging each other, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Nothing encourages the committed hard workers who have been here day in and day out. Nothing, and correct me if I'm wrong, you hard workers out there, you devoted people, but nothing encourages them like people stepping up and showing new devotion. Oh, you can work a whole nother year 100%. If there's people that step up alongside you, nothing is more encouraging than that. And as a pastor, nothing encouraged me quite like a church full of people working together. I can pastor this church for 20 more years if I see a church full of people working together, committed, devoted to one another and to the mission of Jesus Christ. I don't have to go anywhere if we're doing that. So the question is, am I truly devoted? Am I devoted to this church family? So let me do this. Let me answer those questions for you. Benevolence, where we started. What am I willing to give up in order to give to God? What am I willing to give up in order to give to God? Let me help you with that. Sit down, look through your budget, look through your checkbook, through your bank account, look through your calendar, and see what are the things that you can give up in order to give. You know, if you sit there today and you say, I can't really give anything to the church. Well, then I want you to challenge yourself and say, what can I give up? What are the things that I can sacrifice? Because remember, what was Jesus pleased with? The two coins. maybe it's not much. But if you're giving up in order to give to him, that's pleasing to God. So ask yourself that question. What can I give up in order to give? It will be a sacrifice, but it's the sacrifice that pleases God. It's the sacrifice that pleases him. Unity. Am I here to serve or to be served? This is a really simple question to answer. Are you serving? Are you serving in some way? Is there some way that you're serving? If not, you need to find a place. And I can tell you right now, we had this conversation just the other night at men's Bible study. Teachers, nursery, youth, kitchen, maintenance, grounds, music, Sunday morning presentation, website, social media, changing light bulbs. We can find a place for you to serve. That's not a problem. It's just your willingness. Ignited by the Holy Spirit. Do I bring a Holy Spirit flame into this church? And here's the best way to do that. Practice your spiritual disciplines. This place should not be the only time you look at your Bible. It shouldn't be the only time you pray. It shouldn't be the only time that you sing songs to God. You need to be practicing that spiritual discipline on your own. I'd encourage you this year, read your Bible. Don't overdo it. If you haven't spent any time reading your Bible, don't try to read the Bible in a year, because there's a lot in there. Okay? Read Matthew. Read Luke. Say, okay, this year I'm reading the book of Luke, and if I get through it a few times, great. Just get started. Spend time in your Bible. I know it's a cliche kind of thing, do devotions. Wake up in the morning and start your day with God and end your day with God. That will do amazing things for you. It's those kinds of things. Do you come here to worship, or do you come here worshiping? Do you come here to worship or do you come here worshiping? That's how you bring that Holy Spirit flame into our church. Love. Do I live in a way that shows God's love? Keep God's love before you at all times. Remember, we read John 3:16 and 1 John 3:16 and 1 John 4. The idea is that the only way I'm going to be able to love you guys is if I keep God's love in front of me all the time. If I'm going to love you just because you guys are awesome and easy to love, most of the time you are. But the truth is, we all fall short that way. If I'm going to truly, sacrificially love someone else, how do I get the power to do that? I look at God's love for me. That's why we love one another. So put those on your phone. Write those verses down somewhere. Hang them on your wall. Figure out a way to write those passages on the tablet of your heart. John 3:16, 1 John 3:16, 1 John 4:7 through 12. And finally, am I truly devoted to this group of believers, to this church, to my brothers and sisters here? This has been a rough one for me this year in a lot of ways, because I think sometimes we're more devoted to a TV show. Sometimes we're more devoted to a team or a recreational activity than we are to the family of God. Think about those things in your life that you won't miss. I will not miss that. What are they? Is it church? Is it Bible study on Thursday nights? Is it time with your brothers and sisters? And now that we stream everything, man, I'm scared for my children. I can remember how excited I was when Thundercats came on Saturday mornings. My kids like have the whole world of Disney whenever they want to watch it. You see, now that we have that, everything's on your time, right? I just do it whenever I want. And church has become that way too. I'll just check it out. It's there. I just look at it whenever I want. I was always, and if it wasn't for COVID, I've always been hesitant about putting our services online. Because listening to a sermon and hearing some music is not church. Devotion means planning your time around the fellowship. It's not binge watching church whenever you have time. Put meeting together on your calendar. Make it a priority. Find time for the things that are truly important to you. You're already doing that. Just make sure you know what your priorities are. Why all this work? Why do we need to do all these things? Because everything we talked about today isn't easy. It takes a lot of maturity, a lot of dedication, a lot of sacrifice, and a lot of devotion. The reason we do it is because of verse 47. It says, every day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. Notice that it wasn't just the church was getting bigger. He added to their number, but who were they? Those who were being saved. Those who are coming to know Jesus Christ, that's who are added to the number. It excites me to see people serving Christ in our church because they came to know Christ in our church. I can look out there today and see several of you, and I'm going to try not to look too much more because I'm going to cry. But to see those of you who have dug in your heels, who are doing amazing things for the kingdom because you came to know Jesus here in this place, the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. That's why we do this. That's why this is so important. Let's do everything we can to build a healthy church here at Mesa Christian Fellowship, because when we do, we're ultimately building the kingdom of God. Amen? Stand with me and we'll close in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we close today, as we end, and as we reflect on all the things that we've talked about, Father, I ask that you empower us. Father, I ask that you do whatever conviction needs to happen in our hearts. I ask that you empower us to set aside the priorities. Father, I ask that you would allow the opportunities for us to come together and that we would take advantage of those. Father, as I've seen this year, so many of the things that we've taken for granted in the past, we can no longer take for granted. Father, so many of the things as far as being a church, being together as one another, Father, those things are not things we can take for granted. Those things are things that we have to make a priority like never before in our personal lives and the time that we gather together. Father, we're in a different season now. And Father, I believe it's a season that your church can shine your light in a dark world like we never have before. But Father, it's going to take these things. It's going to take us giving to one another. It's going to take us being one as you are one. Father, it's going to take the empowerment of your Holy Spirit. Father, it's going to take us showing your love to the world. People haven't seen you, but they can see you if we love one another. And Father, we're going to have to be devoted. We're going to have to make that a priority. But Father, if we do that, I think you can add to our number every day those who are being saved at Mesa Christian Fellowship, in the Royal Gorge Baptist Association, in the churches across Colorado, in our missionaries all over the country and all over the world. I think you can add to our number every day those who are being saved. Father, we want to build your kingdom. Anything we do that doesn't have to do with your kingdom here on this earth will be burned up in the fire. But whatever we do for the kingdom of God will last into all eternity. Father, we want to do eternal stuff. That's why we're here. Empower us to do it. We love you. We thank you. We praise you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Thank you.